Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right, we're continuing our series, Superheroes, and Marvel had an interesting idea, unique superhero. They called him Daredevil. He was a blind superhero. Blind community loved it. And it was a great concept, not the best movie in the world, but you see there in the end, you see a lot of really cool themes. And today we're continuing our series on superheroes. One of the things about superheroes, the reason it connects with us is it speaks to something in us. Something about how we're created and what we're created for and something about our nature. And here, did you catch all the themes, all the things he was saying? Here's a blind superhero. And he says, faith, that anything is possible. Faith is all you need. That we're a city of heroes. That one person can make a difference. He says, Hell's Kitchen is my neighborhood. I'm looking for the darkness. Isn't that interesting for a blind superhero? And then, of course, the big jump. He really lives it, doesn't he? He, a blind person, jumps from a rooftop, believing that there will be a way for him to swoop in and save the day. And just, you know, if we're down south, say, about ready to have some church up there. That's some really good themes out of that piece. Not the best movie in the world, but some really good themes. And so we're continuing this series, Superheroes. You are no mere mortal. You are eternal. You have the supernatural moving through you. You were created to effect real change and to make real rescues. Now, true story, Matt Brownlee, who was 33 at the time, was picked up for DUI. He unfortunately had had several of these incidences before. He had been charged and convicted. But this time was different. And his lawyers and his psychiatrists in Ottawa, Ontario, successfully argued and got the charges dismissed because they argued that Matt wasn't driving erratically because he had been drinking. No. Instead, he had been driving erratically because he had the sincere belief that singer Shania Twain was telepathically giving him directions on how to drive. And what a strange world, right? And so he had, in 1996, he had a brain injury, and since then has believed that celebrities speak telepathically to him. Now, what we're talking about today is really sounds to some kind of a little weird, like Matt's story here, but it's really different. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the essence of faith and hearing voices, seeing things that aren't there. And that's the essence of faith. Our text today is in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. We'll start, but Hebrews chapter 11 is called it's the famous people of faith. It's the Hall of Fame of Faith. And we're going to start in here right at the beginning. We have an excellent definition of faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. For this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that what is seen was not made by what is visible. Wow, there's just a ton in that three verses there, isn't there? Notice here that God is in the business of creating something out of nothing. That is who He is. That is what He does. God is calling those who love Him to boldly and blindly lead and follow. Even if we don't see it, to follow Him and to lead real change. God is in the business of creating something out of nothing. Now, if we think about the nature of God and who He is, and we zoom back and we think about all of history and the world and the Bible and all of that, of course we're going to come up that God is love. But one of the things, one of the themes we see over and over again is that God creates something out of nothing. This verse that we see here, that Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If there's one thing to remember out of today's message, it is that is not talking about God. That verse right there is not talking about our faith in God. Yes, we don't see Him, but we have lots of evidence for God. We have the accuracy of the Bible, most accurate book of history. We have changed lives. We have history and God's moving throughout history. We have philosophy, some fantastic arguments out of philosophy that show a lot of evidence for God. And we have your story as well. Well, we have a lot of evidence for God. Having faith in that way is trusting what we know. You have faith in your spouse based on evidence. You have faith in your chair based on evidence. And we have a lot of evidence for God. That's not what this verse is talking about. Rather, this verse is talking about following God into an unseen future. Every one of the examples listed in this chapter is talking about people who followed God's leading, His guidance, and they didn't know, they didn't see, they just followed. It's about following God into an unseen future. He is all about creating something from nothing. And the example we have right here is that He created the universe out of nothing. And that's how it begins, is that God is creating something out of nothing. There's a future for us. There's a place He's leading us. And that's part of His nature, something out of nothing. Now, this, by the way, is an excellent example of, scientific community coming around. See, for years and years, scientists said, well, the universe is static. It's always been. It's eternal. The planets have always been, the stars have always been. The universe has always been, never a beginning. It's eternal. And the church would say, no. The Bible says that it was created, that it came out of nothing and then it was there. And it was created. There was a time when the universe was not there. And there was an argument going on between Christians and the scientists would go, yes, you Christians and your Bible. And there was this argument going on. And in the 40s, and actually a little bit before then, evidence started mounting in the scientific community that indeed the universe had a beginning. That there was a time when there was no universe. And then there was a gigantic explosion. And from that explosion, the galaxies and the planets and everything came out of that explosion. There was a scientist, Sir Frederick Hoyle. Here he is. Doesn't he look like a scientist? Just wanna, wanna be his minion. I don't know. Anyway, Sir Frederick Hoyle, he was against this idea. And he was like, is known for what he was against and being wrong. Because, a famous physicist and did a lot of great things, and he was knighted for a reason. But his most famed thing is his criticism of this idea that there was an explosion and everything came to being. And he said, what? I suppose you're going to be going to the church of the Big Bang now. And that's where we get the term Big Bang Theory. It's from him mocking it. And Frederick Hoyle thought that, Christians' lack of evidence, beginning of the universe, scientists' evidence, and know that the universe has always existed. Well, the scientific community, as you know today, thoroughly believes entirely that there was a time when the universe didn't exist. Then there was a Big Bang, and then everything existed. And some Christians, I think, unfortunately, hear a Big Bang, and they get upset, and scientists, and every time you hear it, you ought to go, when? Look, the scientific community discovered that, yes, indeed, God does create something out of nothing. And now there's all sorts of evidence for this. And we see this in this chapter. He says, in this chapter, the author of Hebrews talks about that there's something out of nothing, that we lead even though we don't see, or we follow God even though we don't see, and sometimes we lead even when we don't see. And he uses this example first of the universe, but then he continues. And we see throughout the Bible that God created his covenant people Israel, the nation of Israel, out of slaves who were beaten down. Something out of nothing. All of us would go there. You'd have nothing to create a nation with. You have no land. You have no army. You have no nothing. How could you create a nation? God did it. God is creating also through you something from nothing. Hebrews chapter 11, we see all sorts of these examples, something from nothing. The Hall of Fame of Faith, people who believed that God was leading and they acted. They believed in his leading. They had faith, even though they couldn't see. People who took a flying leap because God guided. Today, we call those people patriarchs. And they're listed here in this chapter: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the Israelites at the Red Sea, Gideon, Samson, David, and Samuel. Those are some big names listed here in this chapter. We hear those names and we flash back to their story. And yes, they heard God's voice. And even though it didn't look like it could ever happen, they followed. And something amazing happened. And now, you. Now, us. God is still in the business of creating something out of nothing. And he's doing it through us. He does this through his people. That's the way he works. God guides and calls. That doesn't end in the Old Testament. He's still in that business. Hebrews 11:40, and I'm going to skip ahead here in the chapter. We'll come back a little bit. We're not going to hit everything, obviously. But Hebrews 11:40 says, God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, that's a profound verse. What that's saying is that God is still working through us. In fact, he's doing better things through his people now than back then. And that our obedience in following his leading is perfecting the work that's been done before us. Perfecting the faith that's been done before us. Isn't that amazing? Not only is God working through us, but in so doing, creating something from nothing. And in so doing, perfecting the work that's been done by those that went before. That's amazing. Look at all that's happened there. And in this chapter, we are seeing, kind of like Daredevil, that God wants you to see the unseen. He wants you to see the unseen. Now, I was a kid in Puyallup, Washington, 2 years there. It was a lot of eventful things happened in Puyallup for just 2 years of my little life. I was 9 years old at the time of this story. And one of the things, great things about Puyallup is that every weekend you could have snow or beach, your choice. You just go to the mountain for snow, you go to the beach for beach. And it was our beach weekend. We kind of did every other weekend back and forth. We'd go to this mountain for snow, next weekend we'd go to the beach. And this was our beach weekend. And the beach in Puyallup, or Seattle, you know, Puget Sound, is a little different than a vacation spots. It's chilly. We stayed in the car and drove the beach. sometimes we got out and walked, but it's so cold, you know, and so forth. But I remember we were driving on the beach, actual beach, and we saw something in the distance. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, I see something way up there. There's an animal or something way out there. He said, no, I don't think there's anything up there. I said, oh, I think there's something way down there. There's an animal or something. And nobody said anything. And everybody was like, no, there's nothing. But, hey, we're on the beach driving. Let's drive down there. Okay, we'll just drive down there. And sure enough, we get down there, and there is a seal that had escaped a predator but didn't make it. And it had died on the beach there, and it had very recently died on the beach. It was quite the sight. And I remember my dad turning to me and saying something. I still remember this. Clearly, he said, "You have a good eye, son." Wow, did I feel shoulders back at that moment. I have a good eye. Good eye, son. Now, God wants us to see the unseen. That's different from having a good eye. He wants us to see what's not yet there, and He's calling us to it. He wants us to see what's not yet there. That's different from having a good eye. This has a lot more to do with hearing His calling. Everything you see God doing today started with the unseen. Everything you see God doing today started with the unseen. It was true in the biblical world, the Exodus, Israel, the Gospels, Rome. It was true in, it's true in our world, churches, ministries, missions, Bibles. All started with the unseen. It's true in your life as well. Things that you don't yet see in yourself, God is calling you to yet unseen. In your family, in your community, in your church, God is calling us to the unseen. He wants us to see what's not yet there. God is speaking right now about what is yet unseen. That is the essence of faith. That is following His lead. Unfortunately, we have kind of twisted that in our modern interpretation. Everybody knows Romans 8:28, or almost everybody knows Romans 8:28, that we know all things work for the good of those, plural by the way, those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. And so whenever we're following and we don't understand or something bad happens, we say, "I know God will make it good in the end." And notice there, though, that it's plural, for those, plural, the community of faith. And from that, a lot of times when we're going through a tough time or we're not sure where God's leading, we say, "I know it will be better," and we mean for me, right? It's all about me. It's going to be better for me because of this. Well, there's something larger there. You know, when we follow God's calling, when we go through a difficult time, a lot of the time, maybe even most of the time, it does end up better for us that we followed Him where we couldn't see, where we stepped out in faith and didn't know. But sometimes it's for the greater good. It's for the community of believers. It's something really what Memorial Day is all about, right? Sacrifice for the greater good. Now, that, I think, is empowering. Because sometimes we don't see it. And sometimes we step forward not knowing. We don't know, and we're walking in the unseen, and we don't get it. And sometimes there's just no way. We look back and go, "How is that good for me?" It's for the greater good. It's for the story. It's for His greater good. It's for eternity. Most of the time, I do think most of the time, it does work out for our good. But sometimes, it's for the greater good. What is unseen? What unseen thing has God been talking to you about? What unseen thing is God speaking to you about? He is speaking. God does speak today. And as you're in your prayer time, as you're reflecting, there's lots of things that God says. He says things that, in a way that's very meaningful to you, it would be different for me, but He'll say, in essence, "I love you." He'll say, in essence, in a way that just makes most impact for you, "I forgive you." He'll say things like, "I'm developing you." He'll say, "I'm guiding you." But He's continuing to call you
also to his first action, to create. To create, to make something out of nothing for his glory.
God wants us to see the unseen. He also wants us to walk in the invisible. Uh-oh. Hebrews 11, 7 and 8, here's an actual example. He talks about Noah. He says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world, that means he warned the world, he warned the world, and became heir to the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So we have two examples here. We have Noah and we have Abraham, both being led by God, walked in what was not, they saw what was not seen, and now they're walking in the invisible. You know, a while back, our family went to the Tonto Natural Bridge Park. If you haven't been there, go. Man, it's amazing. And if you go, I recommend going we didn't intend this, but we walked it backwards. And I think it's better backwards, because if you go forwards, you get to the natural bridge right away, and you go, wow, neato, cool, and then, but if you go through it backwards, it kind of builds, and you don't know what's ahead, and you're not too sure, and, oh, look at that, that's cool, and you're kind of going through a canyon, and you see a little waterfall and a creek and some interesting rock formations, and things build, and the hike gets a little harder and a little harder and a little harder, and me and the older boys would allow Michelle and the younger boys to kind of rest every now and again. Then we'd come ahead and go ahead because we couldn't wait. We had to open the present now. And we go ahead and then we'd come back and get them. And we came up onto the natural bridge. And it's kind of gotten a little tougher hike at that point. But we came over and we're like, just stunning. Wow. This is amazing. You know, there's a gigantic cave and it's open on both ends. That's what makes a natural bridge. There's a waterfall in the cave, and then there's a waterfall over the cave. It's just beautiful, and it's stunning, and we're like, wow. And so we came back, and we didn't want to be a spoiler, but we just said, oh, you got to see this. Come on. And, you know, the hike had been tough, and it was getting a little warm, and Michelle said, yeah, I don't know if I want to go through this. And I said, oh, you got to see this. Come on. I don't know. And I said, come on, let's just a little further. And so she comes a little further, and all that she is seeing at this point is rock and hike and sweat. And she's like, let's just go back. Oh, no, you got to, it's not that much further. Come a little further. And that's how it went back and forth for a while. And then she crested the edge, and she saw the sight that I had seen. We had seen, and it was amazing. That's what God is talking about. In a very little human sense, that was the same story. God is calling us to the unseen, to walk in the invisible, to go to a place where just right now it might look like work and sweat and rock and dirt. But there's going to come a point, usually for us, but for the greater good always, where the seam breaks and we get to see where God is leading and calling. God wants us to walk in the invisible. The heroes of faith did the illogical to achieve the invisible. Did you think about that? The heroes of faith did the illogical to achieve the invisible. Noah built an ark in the desert. Huh? Abraham packed up his family and said, "We're going that way." And he didn't know where he was going. He was following God's lead. They did the illogical to achieve the invisible. Moses led his people to a beach with the enemy approaching, and held up a stick.
He did the illogical to achieve the invisible. Heroes of the faith are still certain of what they do not see. We follow God in morality. We see it in this book. That's something we see. We see morality. We follow God and his morality, what's right and wrong, not because he's trying to keep us from something fun, but because he's leading us to the life that is best. He's keeping us from hurt, leading us in morality to health. That's something seen. We follow God in relationship. That's something we see in this book. And we see that. We see our relationship with him and how rewarding that is. But the heroes of faith are still certain of what they do not see. We follow God at his leading because we hear his voice. Well, that's kind of what this is all about, isn't it? It's hearing God's voice. So I thought I would just kind of, I was thinking about, well, how do you hear God's voice? And I'm trying my best to come up with an acronym. Maybe you can help me here. So close as I got is a VoIP. There we go. One. VoIP. So V, VoIP is, for those in the geek world, voice over internet protocol. It's a phone over your internet. It's as close as I'm getting. I'm working on it. So there's VoIP. Voice. You need to know what God's voice sounds like. So read the word. And by the way, God's voice doesn't sound like these and thous. That's not the point. But you get his heart. When you see what God says, what Jesus is saying in the Bible, you get to hear his heart. You get to hear his priorities. You get to know the way he speaks. So learn his voice. Second, open-hearted prayer. You know what I find is that if I'm had a rough day and I'm mad at somebody or I'm stressed out, I just, my heart's not open to hear, and that's really hard. So open-hearted prayer is really giving your emotions to the Lord and open your heart to him. And then intentional listening. That is your birthright, by the way. John 10:27 says that my sheep know my voice. So don't give that up. And one of the things we see in the Bible over and over again, there are exceptions, but over and over again, people who hear the voice of God are in a position and are prepared and are at a place to listen. God does interrupt people, but that's the exception. Most of the time, it's a time when people have set aside a time to intentionally listen. Does it mean every time you listen, you'll hear? No. But take a time to intentionally listen. And then practice. You know what? The best place to practice, the safest place to practice, is while you're reading your Bible. And here's how you do it. It's right there. Read your Bible. And then take some time to pray for insight. Okay, I read this. Lord, give me insight on how this is supposed to apply to my life. Then listen. And then write it down. And then test it. And by test it, does it line up with the Word? Does it talk to other believers about it, practice it, and so forth. It's the safest place to hear God's voice is in your time studying God's Word. Just like the superhero Daredevil, one of the part of his story is that he lost his sight. So his other senses, especially hearing, became so acute that he could be a ninja fighter because he could hear the other guy fighting. But the lesson of that is that if we want to see what we can't see, we need to hear much better. The superhero Daredevil. If you want to depend less on sight, you need to depend more on hearing. Little caveat, little warning, you might become a hero. That might happen. All of this, of course, is dependent on a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's on a living, rewarding, adventurous, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And today I want to take a moment just to renew that. Just to say, you know what? Maybe this week, maybe today, maybe the last decade, maybe never. I've kind of not been in that relationship. and I want to be in that relationship again. And so today I want to just take a moment as we close in prayer to invite you again into that relationship and to strengthen it and to reconnect with Him. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for your nature, for who you are, that you are love and that you are also creating through us. We pray, Lord, today, first, we invite you into our hearts and lives. We turn away from that which has captured our attention so much and turn to you and invite you to become Lord and Savior of our lives. Perhaps for the first time, perhaps again. Lord, we pray for that one passion of deepening relationship with you come into our hearts and lives. And Lord, we pray that you would improve our hearing, that more and more we can hear your guidance, your leading to that which is unseen, to bring glory to your name, to be a city of heroes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.